name's Amanda Mawinney, and I'm the Detective Chief Inspector on Public Protection for South West.
And my name's Andrew Wadey. I'm a Detective Superintendent, and I work with Amanda on Public Protection on the South West BCU.
There's a lot of jargon when it comes to police. We know that just from watching police dramas. What exactly does your role entail?
So we lead quite a wide and fairly complex strand of the local police, and it comes under the banner of Public Protection. And so that very much covers themes such as domestic abuse, serious sexual offences such as rape, child abuse, child sexual and criminal exploitation. We work very closely with our partners in terms of multi-agency safeguarding. We also run our predatory offender unit, which is like our proactive policing arm who really targets our highest harm offenders, particularly for sexual and domestic and abuse. We also manage registered sexual offenders within our area.
Missing persons, mental health.
What else we do, and also our online child abuse teams work for us as well. So, have we forgotten anyone?
No, it's huge.
It's a large portfolio, but with a common theme that our role is to keep people safe, to protect people, but also to robustly bring offenders to justice wherever possible.
As we're coming out of the pandemic, what kind of crimes are you seeing perhaps on the rise or an abundance of?
We're basically in normal times now, I would suggest. You know, so we're back to pre-pandemic sort of levels for many areas. Domestic abuse has stayed fairly stable in terms of reporting, albeit we're aware that through third parties and charities that reporting into those areas went very high during the pandemic. Sexual offences linked to the nighttime economy, obviously nightclubs and bars have reopened, and as a result there are just more people out and about, and as a result, you know, sexual offences that may not necessarily be linked to those venues but have then arisen as a result of going on beyond nights out, etc.
We have to remember that the pandemic was a really difficult time for everybody, and it's affected people in different ways. And, you know, mental health particularly, you know, we did see an increase in, you know, mental health referrals where people just weren't maybe getting the services they were used to previously. And obviously just the whole thing of being isolated in lockdown, maybe not having those connections that you had before. And let's not forget, you know, the schools were closed. So, you know, maybe in an environment which we would consider a safe safeguarding environment for children, maybe issues there weren't being picked up, and it was really hard for maybe victims of domestic abuse as well, that maybe are, you know, in that house all the time or in the environment all the time, maybe aren't getting, you know, away when they need to or getting services when they need to. So, you know, I think it was a really difficult time, and when we talk about a rise in crime, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than that as well, and it's that whole safeguarding bit that we need to keep in mind and making sure that we're there to support people.
I spoke to students at Kingston University last week because we've had this awful subject of needle spiking coming about, and although it's not something that they're terribly aware of, they did take part in the boycott, the Girls' Night In. Is that something that you're worried about? Is that something that you were aware of before it hit the national headlines?
So in terms of drink spiking, using substances, etc., so obviously that's not new, as you suggest. I have not come across sort of the use of needles per se. That feels new to me as a theme. We're not aware of any reported incidents within our Southwest geographical location since it's sort of come into the media and become the awareness is raised. Albeit though, we've obviously been communicating with our staff and the wider police family on how to respond forensically to such an incident, and obviously working with our partners within licensing to raise their awareness as well, because the reality is, you would hope if there's good enough security in these venues, such things shouldn't get through. So I know our partners are absolutely committed as well to prevent anything like this happening, but yeah, raising awareness is no bad thing. in order to keep people safe.
Important just to build on from there, the work that we are doing with our nighttime economy and our licensed premises, and just making sure we're using our media communications to get the communications out to the public, to listen to them obviously and invite feedback, but also, you know, it builds into the work that we're doing around the Ask Angela campaign with licensed premises. You know, we are actively training staff within those premises, nighttime economy, to you know, identify any signs where there may be something wrong, or where young people can go obviously to staff there, use the term, and obviously then they will have staff that are trained to support them and obviously guide them after.
And you may have seen reported recently that there's going to be a pilot in Lambeth and Southwark. We're having plainclothed officers out and about in the nighttime economy, almost acting as spotters, observing suspicious behaviour, or bringing to the attention of plainclothed colleagues anything that they might feel to be not right. And there's really good evidence base that does have an impact on the behaviour of potentially predatory people.
Why did you choose Lambeth and Southwark in particular?
So I wasn't part of the decision-making chain in terms of where that was going to be piloted. So I don't know, is the answer. We'll obviously be just watching it with interest, though, seeing what comes out of it and what results come out of it. And very, very receptive to obviously trialling it locally as well. But that said, we will have and do have a really good visible presence now in the nighttime economy. We've got new town centre teams are starting in Kingston beginning of December. We already have invested additional staff in our violence suppression units who are on patrol and policing at that sort of kick out late at night sort of hours around nightclubs, particularly in Kingston and in other areas of southwest London. And we're working, as Amanda said, really closely with our partners in licensing to build that awareness so that we can just deal with it when we see anything that we're not happy with. So very, very active in that space at the moment.
Is this something that was already planned, or has this come about in the wake of Sarah Everard's murder? Because a lot of police forces have put extra measures into place after Sarah was murdered.
So this isn't new, actually. So the work around the town centre teams, that's been in the planning for a long time now. And obviously, being such a large organisation, it's not something that just happens. It does take a huge amount of work to make happen. It takes a long time. Our work around open spaces, particularly with the strengthening and uplifting of our violence suppression unit locally, that's been in the plan for several months and wasn't driven by the awful case surrounding Sarah's killing. But that said, we also recognise that there's a real need to reassure our communities. And so whilst, of course, our communication around these initiatives are very much centred around hopefully reassuring our communities and women and girls around open spaces and the nighttime economy, that wasn't the driving force behind it, if you like. So it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction to the awful circumstances. We've known that we need to be present in those spaces. We know that we need to make those spaces feel and be safer for women and girls. And so it's absolutely the right thing that we're taking all of this this action now.
Have you noticed a change in the way that the public interact with you since Wayne Cousins was sentenced?
So, anecdotally, for some officers, I know there have been some difficult interactions, of course. You know, our officers have dealt with that with real professionalism, with real compassion as well, and understanding. The reality is, given everything that happened with Sarah Everard and Wayne Cousins, given everything that's come out in the media, particularly in terms of the behaviour of a number of officers who are linked to sexual misconduct, it's completely understandable that reasonable questions such as this are being asked of us. So we do get that, absolutely. And as an organisation, we've had to really take a good look at ourselves, you know, hence why, you know, the Commissioner announced the review of our standards and culture driven by Baroness Casey. And we're also doing a huge amount of work looking at sort of the culture within our organisation. And that actually predates all of this, actually, in terms of our review of our culture driving out misogyny, challenging those that do not hold our values and do not behave appropriately, who may be overbearing, who may be inappropriate, and absolutely making it a safe space for officers and colleagues and staff to challenge that behaviour. So it's, this work has predated all of this, but it's obviously now really intensifying for all the right reasons, and because there's a natural and completely understandable expectation that we do respond to restore the trust that has, yeah, has obviously been impacted by everything that's happened. You may want to say more about, you know, sort of the internal culture bits, but it's, yeah, you know, a huge amount of work happening.
I think building that trust is crucial, and we're only going to do that if we actually engage with our communities and listen to them, actually actively listen and change and learn and grow ourselves, which we are doing. So, yeah, I'm confident we can build that trust again.
And in terms of listening to communities, we've set up a Violence Against Women and Girls panel with our partners, and through our partners, we're actively now actively listening to women and girls, yeah, understanding their fears, seeking to address their fears and concerns about us as an organisation, but also about the open spaces, the nightclubs, the bars, or wherever it is they may feel unsafe. And so this is very much being driven by communities as well. It's not just us saying, I think we've got an idea, let's run with it. We're absolutely engaging with our communities because they have the knowledge, they have the lived experience, and we must be driven by that.
It must have made you, though, as police officers, extremely angry when something like this happens, because it is not the majority, you know, it's a very small minority. Even the police officers who were seeing, you know, are charged with other offences, it's a very small minority who has sort of tarred the whole of the police force, and not just one police force, but every police force, with the same brush. And it must make you feel angry, or at least upset.
Angry, sickened. You know, I think the sense of emotion that we all felt. Also, you know, my family and my friends, they're upset. They're not police officers. And, you know, they're rightly holding me to account and asking questions and thinking, is this our police force? Are all our officers like this? And thankfully, they're not. You know, I work with amazing colleagues every day. You know, there's officers out there now doing amazing work to protect people, to keep people safe. You know, a lot of people won't even know, they don't see it, you know, just the ones that are actually being affected a lot of the time. So I was angry, I was sickened, I know a lot of my colleagues are, but I'm proud of this organisation. I love the job that I do, and I know most of my colleagues do, and we are out there every day trying to do the very best that we can.
And I guess from my perspective, reminding myself not to be defensive,
yeah,
is a really big thing. Not to be defensive, and absolutely remind myself of all of the work that we've been doing for some time in this space. I mean, violence against women and girls is a massive priority for us. I mean, it's an area of work that has actually featured throughout my career, has driven my career, and same for you. Mm-hmm. So very passionate about it, and we see incredible things being done all the time. But at the same time, we've got to learn, and we have to take concerns on board. It's absolutely right that trust has been impacted by these events. Mm-hmm. We've got to accept that and communicate everything that we're doing, and also just stay positive, because what we're here to do is to protect people, to bring people to justice, to all the things that the reasons why we joined this organisation, you know. And yeah, it is tough when you see negativity, when you see the actions of a few having an impact on the many. But as I say, and we say to all our colleagues, we've got to keep reminding ourselves why we're here.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do, really.
Do you think it's made your job tougher? Because in the wake of Wayne Cousins, you know, we heard a lot about what anyone should do if they're approached by a plainclothed officer who shows them a warrant. I mean, I wouldn't know a fake warrant card from a real warrant card, if I'm being honest, and I don't think many people would. But you will have legitimate people on the, you know, police officers on the streets in plain clothes. Has this made their job harder?
I mean, first thing to say is, understand the concern. The reality is, it's incredibly rare that a lone male officer would ever need to approach a lone female officer. I mean, I can I don't think I can actually think of a single time in my career when I've had to do it, you know, genuinely. But that said, does it make their job harder? Not necessarily. I think they have to go about approaching that individual in a real thinking and compassionate manner. And actually, every colleague that I've spoken to who work on the front line do get that. They absolutely get why it's important to show that understanding, empathy and compassion. And obviously now with the systems we've now built in which we can set up a live video call with a uniformed sergeant in the operations room, just goes some way in which the officer can be really proactive as well. Say, look, I understand you may be uncomfortable. This is what I'm going to do to hopefully reassure you that I'm a genuine police officer and I'm here for a genuine reason. And so, you know, we've given them now, well, the officers have the tools by which to reassure, but in terms of do they feel that's harder? Some may say yes, some may say no, but generally I've seen positivity and understanding from my colleagues, and it's been just real testament to their pragmatism and their, you know, just their professionalism, really, in terms of the whole thing. Anything?
Yeah, I think we accept, you know, if you're a lone plainclothes officer, or, you know, just verify your identity, you know, and the process has been set up to do that. It will reassure that the female that you're engaging with, and, you know, and I think that is a really good reassurance tool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And talking about getting back in, you mentioned, you know, we are back to normal and the nighttime economy is back to that normal level, pre-COVID level now. What can, not just women, but what can people in general be doing when they're on a night out, when they're on an evening out, to keep themselves safe?
For me, this is not about telling people to change their behaviour. You know, the responsibility is not on you, I or anybody else to be taking responsibility for the behaviours of others. So that is the bottom line.
And that's not a message we want to be delivering to females at all.
Or anyone. However, I think, Amanda, you mentioned earlier, I think, Ask for Angela initiative. Mm-hmm. So if you are, or anybody is out, or a woman or a girl is out in any situation in a licensed premises and they feel unsafe, or uncertain, or they just don't feel right, they can ask the staff for Angela, and that should then kick in a set of steps that the staff will go on to make sure that they're safe. So ask for Angela. Obviously, we've just talked about with lone officers, if you feel uncertain, then we've got this safe connection process now in place. And as I said, just from my perspective, it's not about telling people to change their behaviours. It's about us being relentless now on driving and focusing on the behaviours of others, those who are seeking to commit harm. So, as I've said, we've got in our town centres, we'll have officers on high visibility patrols. Again, speak to the officers if you feel uncertain or unsafe. They will help you. We are actively listening to our VORG network, our Violence Against Women and Girls network, for any advice and feedback on how we can, what more we can do to make women and girls feel safe. And of course, as I've mentioned, we're doing everything we can to bring offenders to justice. So we have a predatory offender unit on the area locally. So just in the last year, they've arrested 136 people for high harm sort of offences, many for rape and serious sexual offences. And they're a small team of 8 people who are just absolutely dedicated to going after those who are, you know, who just want to commit harm and commit offences against many women and girls. So we, as I say, just go back to my original point, it's not about us saying change your behaviours. We are doing a huge amount in this space to make places both actually safe and feel safer. And there is enormous work being done by our partners, and particularly in licensing, in which women and girls can lean on if they feel like they're in an uncertain position.